Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Box Office Breakdown. It may have been a quiet week for box office releases, but that doesn't mean some of our old favorites didn't dominate. We'll talk about all that and more next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Welcome everybody to Box Office Breakdown. Here we go. Carrie's dancing. Amy's waking up. It's an exciting day for us right here. As always, folks, this is the show where we look back at the box office that was, and then we... beautiful. Right. About the box office that lie ahead. I'm Frank Moran.
What's up? Carrie Lane here, and we are live in the chat, so if you're watching live, welcome. And if you're not, it's okay. We still love you. Comment down below.
But not as much.
No, it's cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm Amy Casada Martinez. Hi.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
And you gotta get the headset.
Hi.
Making us look good and sound even better is Anthony in the booth.
What's up, everybody? It's Anthony here, Anthony Basseri here in the booth. I am monitoring the chat. And apparently, William Sands out there, he thinks he's going to be sick. I'm not sure if it's after our rendition of our pipes,
aww,
you know?
Aww.
We're getting better every week, Williams. Hurt. It's okay.
Yeah, we do it all the time.
All right.
Wow. We go from feeling sick to crying. So
hey.
That's my goal by the end of next year.
Folks, as always, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. When you do, give it a thumbs up. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whee! However many you can. And as Carrie mentioned, the chat is up and running, so feel free to comment about anything that we're talking about, or, you know, just movies or box office in general. We're happy to field all those great comments that you have to share. But without further ado, let's just jump into this past week's top five. Nothing really spectacular in terms of new releases really dominating the box office charts.
No.
So we go back to some old standbys, and coming in number one again, Ralph Breaks the Internet. Another $16.1 million. You seen it yet?
No, I'm heartbroken.
Oh.
Wow. Somebody is not prioritizing their life properly.
Well, somebody was actually working on a movie, so.
That's me.
Really?
Really?
Pictures or didn't happen?
There are. They're all over social media.
Go to my Instagram, dude. Mm-hmm.
That's not a real app.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, I keep hearing so many wonderful things about Ralph, you know, and him breaking the internet and everything.
Yeah.
So I really want to go see it. It's just like, whoa, the holidays, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
There you go, whoa.
Whoa, the holidays. Whoa.
Whoa, them holidays. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Coming number two, Dr. Seuss's The Grinch, another $15.1 million. Still holding on really strong, even with Ralph Breaks the Internet. It is still doing well.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as we made fun of it for coming out, being released so early, it has maintained a nice,
quality,
healthy presence.
Family film.
That's true. You
know. Good for them.
Yeah. Animation. Woo!
There's only a 15.4% drop from last week. So
not bad.
No, not at all.
I mean, now it's like full-on holiday mode.
Yes.
So I wonder if there are any kids that are trying to like ask their parents to go again. You know?
That's true.
I mean, I don't know if that's a thing.
I really I want to see more of that Cindy Lou subplot with her mom. Yeah, hooray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a part of the film.
I figured.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, okay.
Coming number three, Creed 2, another $10.3 million.
Yep.
Somebody's been making some gains at the gym.
Well, no, not really. They'll start tomorrow.
Okay.
Have a new workout plan.
Plan.
I'm really excited about it.
All right. I follow her on this Instagram thing she talks about.
Oh, yeah.
On this, yeah, it's crazy. It's a new app.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the rage.
I don't trust new things.
What's an app?
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Anthony.
It's an appetizer. That's what it
is.
Oh,
I'd love to have it sometime.
Number four, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. Another $6.8 million. And rounding out the top five, Bohemian Rhapsody, $6 million. Look at that. Our box office bet, though, was done with for a little film, though. That was done on, it was the Mary Queen of Scots.
Exactly.
Yes. Look at that. That one crushed at the box office.
Ooh. Only at $200,000.
Yeah.
That hurts just to, like, hear.
That's
you know?
Just sad.
But, you know, I mean, for some...
But I don't think it had a full wide release just yet.
No, hopefully... Well, let's hope. let us
Well, hope. I went today, and I tried to go at 12:30, completely sold out.
Really?
And then I went at 1:20, it was almost all sold out. And they'll tell you about the demographics when we get to it in a second.
Oh, fantastic. Well,
because we talked about that.
Carrie, she went big.
I did.
And we're proud of that. $9 million.
Phew.
She is lost, but already doing her due diligence and going to see Mary Queen of Scots. Mm-hmm. If only the theater would let you do it. So eventually the theater and you will be able to make that that engagement and you'll be able to see this movie and tell us all about it.
Oh, no, I saw it already today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh, I thought you said you tried to get in. I'm sorry.
No, I went. Okay, so no, I was actually on set this morning. We wrapped early and I was like, oh, I'll just go to a movie. I can make it to the, because I still have movie pass, but I canceled it because it sucks right now. And I was able to make it to the theater for a 12:30 show, and I go to do my e-ticket and there's no seats, and I talk to the box office person of like, I don't use this that often for e-ticketing, and like, that means it's all sold out. I'm like, oh, okay, what's the next one, 120? Okay, there's a seat, I'll get like that. So it was pretty much almost sold out on the 120 as well. I would say the demographics were primarily moms and grandmas, but it was full theater, and after the movie, everybody around me, so historically, blah, 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 like they're all getting into it. So it's exactly who I thought it was. All the people super into history, period pieces, and the real history of it. So you know who her father was. And that's like, that was awesome. And that's exactly what my mom would have been doing. But I don't know if she's going to see it yet. But anyway, I liked it. Back to that on if you liked it or not. I liked it. It's I knew nothing about Mary, so that was interesting. I've heard of Elizabeth, but it was cool to see her life. And spoilers, not spoilers, because this is ancient history. Well, not ancient, but history. Her life kind of sucks, so it's not necessarily an upper. But cinematically, it's really cool. They do a lot of neat editing things, paralleling the lives of these two women who were queens and trying to rule, and so many people trying to take their power away from them. Mainly men, because they were not happy with ladies being in charge. And so they parallel them in different spots very, very stylistically. But that was kind of a cool choice. Like, literally almost a match image of what happened in one person's life and how it's different in the other. And that, I thought, was a great choice because it's like, okay, yeah, history. How do you make it interesting? Acting was great. Margot Robbie did a great job, too, because, yeah, they make her look messed up because she gets the pox. And so, I think it's the pox. And so it's like, it messes up her skin, like, thereafter, and she doesn't look... It's like, ooh, your health kind of sucks. But she lived a very long time, all things considered. And,
Well, I know they took a little bit of liberty, because in the actual history, they never met. But in this, they do have a meeting.
They do.
Does
but
it
they
pay
do.
Off? Do you feel like that it needed to have them have that scene together?
I liked having their scene together, because they kind of have the, so you would just have me killed anyways, and she's like, no, I couldn't do that to you as a person now that, like, I've actually met you in person. And they do it very stylistically. Like, it's a room with sheets hanging, and they don't see each other for a long, long, long time as they're trying to, like, get closer / avoid each other. So I think that speaks to the, it didn't really. Mm. But I think it's a romanticized historical fiction. I would go with that. Like, most of it feels pretty real. And then other stuff I'd be curious to know more. But then that's good if, like, it gets people maybe interested in history and be like, oh, tell me more about these people.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
That's a very long-winded rundown, but you know.
It was great. Oh, that's what that's the whole purpose of the box office.
Giving you full opinion. Yes.
We want to hear that stuff. But we also want to make sure that we praise the winner of the box office bet, give her her due praise and adulation, and that is a good old Amy Cassandra Martinez.
What? Me? Yay! Oh my gosh. Stop.
There you go. $1.7 million sealed the deal for you.
Wow.
There you go.
And what is this, like my third or fourth? No.
I mean,
no,
counting?
It's not. But I'm not losing. So
Tony's happy
I'm
he didn't lose.
But yeah.
That's true.
Good for you.
Anthony's got a lot of work ahead of him.
Yeah, I was saying in the chat that my losing streak has finally come to an end.
Yeah.
I realize I lost the past 4 times.
Same.
Awesome.
Well, somebody looks like we already know what your winter break plans will be then, correct?
The theater is my second home.
All right.
That's beautiful.
I'm actually going to hibernate in the theater.
That's dangerous.
A bunch of popcorn before I go in.
Okay. Let us know how that goes. I like Ken Jack in the chat says, Star Drew would be proud that I already saw the movie the weekend that I lost, but
there you go.
That's worked great. Out perfectly because I was interested. I'm glad I went. And it's a cool... Yeah, if you like dramas, historical pieces, I think it will definitely be entertaining for you in that.
England, if you like England.
And Scotland.
There you go.
Hey, okay.
All right. Well,
hearing her voice long enough. I'm like, yeah. So Sharon.
In terms of other films, I know we've got three films vying for our box office bet for next week. And those three are Mortal Engines, The Mule, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I did get a chance to see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And it is one of the worst films I've ever seen. It's a really good film.
Yeah, I was like, no,
that's not true. I'm like, every nerdy person I know is super excited about it.
It was a really solid film.
That's great.
This is one that if you let your nerd flag fly for this one, okay. They really just embrace a lot of the fun parts of the Spider-Man mythos.
I'm going to see it on the 13th.
I'm excited to see that one.
It's the type of thing that it's like, I would just want to have Sony just do the animated stuff. And let's leave live action. I know people like Venom. I do not care for Venom.
Yep.
But let's just move away from that. Because if you're going to do animation, they're able to do Spider-Man. And you can still do a Spider-Man story and do it well. And not have to worry about Disney and what they want to do with Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm.
So this is great. And I will just say it's not a spoiler. But for me, with my Spider-Man, I prefer when Aunt May is in on Peter Parker's secret identity.
Oh, okay.
I enjoy that. I feel like it's too long now to...
Yes.
Yeah.
She can't be that oblivious.
There was a period of time where she did know, which is great. J. Michael Straczynski set it up. And it was a really nice story, and it was a nice run where she was in. And I felt like it definitely deepened the relationship between Aunt May and Peter. And we see that in Homecoming just at the end. So I'm excited to see for the next film how that relationship develops now that she knows as well that he's Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. One thing I liked about the film, it's just better when she knows. It just adds a lot to the story.
Nice. I never thought of it like that. Yeah. Like what that would,
Because otherwise, it's just he's constantly like the bumbling nephew, constantly, and it's just like, it's just that same beat that gets repeated again and again and again.
Mm-hmm. I think it lessens her character if she can never figure that out. Like, I feel she cares enough about him and is invested in him that figure it out eventually.
Yeah.
Because he's not perfect. Like, he'd mess up somehow that she would go, or it all makes sense.
It adds layers to her character.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was one thing in the 60s when she was first, she was the frail old aunt. And it seemed like, she was just near death's door constantly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she's been modernized and revitalized, whether it's in the Ultimate Universe and the comic books where she was made younger, whether it's the film with Marissa Tomei, a much younger Aunt May. It's just, she's much more vital. And it makes sense for an 18-year-old to have an aunt that's, or even a 16-year-old, have an aunt that's, 50-ish. It seems to make sense.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 75 and I'm good. I need my medicine, Peter.
Well, that'd be the age of the parents.
Thank you, everybody.
And then, so 50 makes sense if that's about how old their parents would be if their parents were alive.
That's right. There you go. Anyway, we'll talk more about that once more people have had a chance to see the film. Yeah. But I do highly recommend it, as if my recommendation was the thing you were really waiting on.
Totally.
Yep, that's exactly what it was.
It doesn't come often, so it is worth it.
And they even did a little Q&A afterwards, and I thought that was a little lackluster. That's all I'll say about that.
Oh, no, with who? You don't need to say, who moderated it or who was there.
They had Lord and Miller, as well as the three directors. Yeah, so it was nice, but it was just kind of like, yeah, very superficial. I felt
you should have moderated it.
Oh boy, would I love to. Oh, hey. I was one of those where I was like, I want to ask you. But anyway, sometimes a film doesn't come out just in a theater. Sometimes it comes out in a streaming platform.
Yes.
As it's coming into the Christmas time of year. We're looking, there's really not new releases that we're excited about in the film, in the actual box office. But we all took a chance to see a little Christmas movie.
A little.
We did.
It's great.
Yes, The Christmas Chronicles with Kurt Russell.
Yes.
Ladies, we'll start with you, Carrie. What did you think?
I was very, I had long-winded.
Oh, that's true, Amy.
I'll let Amy go first. And she was watching a lot of Christmas stuff.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching a lot. We also did talk about some of these on Netflix Picks, which you can watch on AfterBuzz at, what time is it right now? 7:09. No.
A little later.
Eight. At 7.
It's 5.
At 7. Okay. Three, I forgot what time
two,
it was.
7.
Six. 7. 7. I watched The Christmas Chronicles?
Christmas Chronicles.
Christmas Chronicles. And it was one of those that a lot of people were talking about on Twitter, and I was like, okay, I want to go see this. Obviously, Kurt Russell plays Santa. And that was actually surprisingly good. It was one of those that I was really scared because there have been a lot of really icky Netflix Christmas movies that are just way too cheesy and not that exciting. But this one was actually really good. And I think everyone really delivered. And they weren't cheesy. Okay, there were some cheesy moments. But mm-hmm. it had a little bit of meat to it. Mm-hmm. And then you find yourself, like, jamming along to Santa in jail while he's singing. Like, there's some that unexpected moments. You're like, okay, all right, I'm just going to roll with this. So I really appreciated that they actually, like, attempted to make it really, really good. And, of course, like, Kurt Russell's really great. So, yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed his portrayal as sort of like the omniscient Santa who knows everybody.
Yes.
Knows all their history of gifts that they've gotten throughout the years.
Oh.
That he was just, like, still studly-looking Kurt Russell.
Oh, the joke of, that's not what I look like.
Yeah.
I thought it was super cute. It has just that right amount of cheese because I think most Christmas movies have a little bit because it's just that overwhelming and that's what kind of makes it cheesy. I think it actually has a lot of heart in it as well. They address a first Christmas without a parent very well. That was mine last year. So this movie, they had a couple moments and I'm like, oh, just stab that knife in the heart and make mm-hmm. me cry. But I think they handled it well because it's, like, they do family dynamic well that they don't wash over it and they don't inflate it, you know? It's like, okay, I buy that and I buy their sibling relationship mm-hmm. and how they deal with it and everything. I like how they incorporate the magic of how it works. Like, the bag and explaining how yeah. there can be so much stuff in there, how he can literally get in the spot so quickly and essentially teleport.
Oh, that was cool.
So that was a really, like, okay, this magical thing, and this is how we think it works. Mm-hmm. I thought the elves were super cute. Looks kind of like my dog. Oh. I was like, oh, they got it.
It's your dog and elf.
She looks more like an Ewok, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Yeah.
So yeah. I thought it was cute and fun, and I thought Kurt Russell was great. If you're a fan of any of his movies, I think it's one of those, yeah, it's like a kind of an amalgamation of all of those mm-hmm. kind of vibe of who he plays. Somebody kind of likened it to Adventures in Babysitting, but I don't feel it's boring in its similarity to it, possibly. But sure, I get that. But it feels like a regular movie you could have seen in theaters, but mm-hmm. it was on Netflix.
Yeah, I feel like this one might be added to my collection for every year. Like, it might.
Yeah. And the music was fun. And yeah, that song. So,
yeah, the singing was pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
Well, what did you think, Mr. Grinch?
Bah, humbug. I sang my praises for Kurt Russell. It's a funny film.
Not the Grinch, but okay.
Yes.
That's I was true. Giving you it's a chance nice. To say more, sir.
No, we've talked plenty about it. But no, you guys have spoken too many things. Spoken too many things. Plenty of beautiful things. Oh, okay. Not too many. Never enough things coming
okay,
from the two of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
My heart is shrinking rapidly.
Turning into coal. Oh, that's and right. the coal thing. That was funny, too.
Yeah.
And the fight. There's fight scenes and car chases and... So it's actually a lot of action for what you might not expect in a Christmas movie.
Yeah, and good old Chris Columbus bringing the heat.
Mm-hmm. I was all, was that one of the cops?
No, he was the director.
I'm thinking the actor. There you go. Yes.
Maybe that's why I liked it.
Yeah. Like Home Alone.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. It has that family vibe. Or that's right. That double feature vibe.
That's what, it was actually good.
Yeah, there you go.
Good.
You're like, that's why it's good.
So, folks, as I mentioned earlier, we did our box office bet. Let's all praise Amy Cassandra Martinez one more time.
Thank you.
There you go. And I mentioned the three films, Mortal Engines, The Mule, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Feel free to start placing your votes into the chat to decide which of these three films that we will bet on. Mm-hmm. And one of us will have to go see. But before we do that, though, real quick, there. Of course, you know, we only had Mary Queen of Scots coming out here, but Aquaman is just coming around the bend, at least domestically. Internationally, though, mm-hmm. it has already been doing some really good business here. It opened in China, where it did a $93.6 million opening. It's the biggest launch ever for a Warner Brothers film, surpassing Ready Player One by 66%, and the best ever for the month of December.
Wow.
It is the top bow for a DC title in the market, coming in 92% above Justice League, 78% over Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, and exceeding the lifetime of Wonder Woman in just 3 days.
Oh, wow. Wonder Woman 2.
Yeah. And so, and that has not even, it still has not opened domestically. So,
yeah.
Warner Brothers is already talking about a sequel for this film, so we'll see how. I'm sure that's probably going to do a good job in the box office.
Pop the champagne bottles.
There you go.
There it is.
I'm sure they're all ecstatic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and I don't know if you guys saw, but Jason Momoa was on SNL, and he was super excited. I've seen all of his Instagram posts leading up to it, but I haven't seen the actual show. But I mean, I'm sure like that kind of helped a little bit.
Yeah,
sure.
Because I know
somehow
they watch a lot in China, so for sure.
For sure.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
They probably drove them. Whoa,
I think
holy cow!
We're just hungry for an actually good DC movie.
I think
haven't had that many
are
of.
No, that's very true. I hope this is the case. I know we've talked about it before. He just seems too much of a big dumb ox in the trailers that I've seen, and I hope that's just unfortunate for just what the footage that we're seeing. And it doesn't turn out to be the case in the actual
film.
Well,
I have heard something on the whole dumb ox thing.
Oh, yes, Anthony, please do tell.
Do you want to know? Like, he's pretty much a surfer bro throughout the whole film.
Yeah.
Great.
So that's unfortunate.
That's that.
Tubular.
Okay.
Whatever. I mean, okay. Mm,
we'll
talk
see
about more of that. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right.
We're all probably going to go see it, so.
Yeah. Now, before we do our box office bet as well as next week's top five, we thought we'd do a little box office rewind. About somebody that is in one of these upcoming films. Let's go to the much celebrated, often, you know, overlooked. Mm-hmm. You know, people, yeah, but when you see him, you get excited.
Yep.
That's Michael Peña.
Ooh!
Yes. His top five films, not including his Marvel work, because obviously Ant-Man and Ant-Man and the Wasp were going to dominate his first two for his opening box office totals, opening weekend box office totals. So we'll skip the Marvel Universe stuff. Just focus on the next five after that. So coming in at number five on that list is Tower Heist from Universal back in 2011, $24 million.
That's the one with Ben Stiller too, right?
And Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's,
I did not get to that one.
Oh.
There you go. No, that was,
did you see it?
I did. I actually interviewed the cast for that.
Did you like it?
It's not a great movie, but it was fun talking to the cast.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
At number four, Murder on the Orient Express. 2017, $26.8 million.
I did like that movie.
Or, excuse me, $28.6 million. And they're working on a sequel, or the next film in the series.
I don't remember him in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of those movies that you're like, holy moly, there's a lot of big names.
That's
here.
True.
I lost track of who was where.
But still a great movie, though.
Yeah.
Really enjoyable.
Yeah.
Number three, A Wrinkle in Time from Buena Vista and Disney.
Oh, he was pretty good
2018.
In that.
Oh, my God.
33.1.
But he was there for like 5 seconds.
It was a very small part.
Yeah.
But I liked what they did with that character.
It was pretty impressionable, though.
Yeah.
For the amount of time he was on screen, like, he was pretty sinister.
Yeah. And that character, I like how they did it, because I read the book, so I liked how they changed him for the movie.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
People are like, who was he? He was a small bad guy. Like, that one of the biggest scenes is like him at the beach. I kind of remember that, and he has red eyes, and he's kind of getting in the way of the kids getting to the next thing. Pretty much, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, man, I don't know if part of me feels like, should I give it one more chance and watch that movie again? Because I came out of it kind of like, meh.
Same.
But then I feel like,
Short.
Do I need to spend that?
I'd go read the book if you haven't read it, because the book's actually really good, and the like fight at the end is so much cooler in the book. But Zach Galifianakis, I loved his change, because that character was actually, that was one of the ones where they actually changed the sex of the character, but I'm like, I love what they did with it. Hmm. Most other ones you go, okay, sure, why not? But his was interesting to make it like comedic and serious, which worked the right kind of whimsical that movie should have had the whole time.
Oh, nice. Well, as soon as I learn how to read, I will check that out.
Okay.
Book on TV.
Let us know.
Oh, it's true. As soon as I learn how to listen.
Oh.
Number two, Battle Los Angeles, 2011 from Sony, $35.5 million. I feel like I wanted to like that movie more than it was.
Which one?
The Battle Los Angeles. That's when aliens attack LA. Aaron Eckhart.
Love this movie.
Really?
I'm a sucker for this movie. Mainly because I saw it in a high school with a group of friends, and it was just a really fun time in the theater.
Who else is in that?
But yeah, it's just a dumb schlocky, like, a more serious take, I guess, of, like, Starship Troopers, because it is really all, like, marine propaganda to, like, join the forces and fight aliens, you know? And, like, brotherhood and how no one leaves a brother behind and everything. But it was a fun movie overall. I mean, like, U.S. Marines in L.A. shooting aliens is it's fun fodder for me.
There you go.
That's not something.
You've sold Amy. Look at how excited she is.
That's not something you hear every day. I mean, that plot, just the plot alone. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, now you're intrigued.
Slightly.
Oh, well done, Anthony.
Okay. Good job.
Mm-hmm. And number one for Michael Pena's non-Marvel top five box office opening weekends is The Martian from Fox, 2015, $54.3 million.
Was he in that film? Are you sure? I'm just double checking. Who was he?
He was the Martian. Remember when they get to Mars? And he's like, hey.
He's Rick.
I'm the Martian.
Rick Martinez.
Hey, guys. Remember me? Name. I'm the Martian.
Wow, I don't remember.
You remember that?
I don't.
He comes out and he's holding a pina colada.
You're making that up now.
No, that's for sure. You don't remember that? Because Matt Damon's right there?
I remember Matt Damon.
Yes.
This is the one where he's like,
He's on Mars.
Yeah, and so he's by himself.
And it comes down to the end where he's almost like he's emaciated because he's been there so long.
Yes.
And he's about to die. And then just when he's at that moment before he gets able to get to the rocket because he's running out of energy, Michael Pena shows up as the Martian. And he goes,
oh, crap.
Let me help you make these final steps so you can make your journey home. And he's got that pina colada.
Okay, like I believe everything you say except for the pina colada part.
I'm pretty sure he's the one who like leaves him behind. Is he in the first group that leaves Matt Damon behind? Like, he arrives with Matt Damon and he leaves without him? Yeah.
I haven't seen that movie, but I love hearing all about it.
It's actually a really good movie.
He gets left behind, Carrie.
That's right.
No, it's cool. It's one of those movies I've heard so much about already, so I'm like, it's all good.
Well, is that the whole hook of the film, is how to simply struggle on a planet.
Well, now I'm curious on the...
But he's Michael Pena's the Martian, though. You like him.
Colada. Okay.
Yeah, yes. I do. I think he's great, but crap, I don't remember that.
All right.
I'm kind of disappointed I'm not hearing End of Watch, but I guess it didn't do that well. The Jake Gyllenhaal cop movie.
Not enough to get into the top five of what we're looking at for Michael Pena.
Yeah. I was a fan of that one, though, so go check him out. Nice. Great acting.
What about Chips?
Oh,
big,
with Dex.
Big negative, no. I haven't seen it, so, and no interest, but maybe Amy might watch it or something.
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, that's right.
You just sounded so excited right
now.
So,
well, Dex Shepard. He's good too.
It was brought up Murder on the Orient Express that he isn't in it, and now I'm looking through and I'm not seeing him on there unless he was a really small part. I was like,
oh, well.
Frank.
This is what says.
See,
it has to be true, guys. No, so you
John
go.
John Harrison on it.
We got this.
Yeah, and then I was trying to remember. I'm like, yeah, who was he in that movie? But I'm
Michael
not seeing it in there either.
Pam. He's so
well,
funny.
Look at that.
What
we've been fooled.
Whoopsie.
And treated,
Nuh-uh,
mistreated
really?
And abused by Box Office Mojo. How dare they lie to me?
Wait, seriously?
Let me see. Now,
Wrinkle in Time.
This is why we love the live chat as well, because then we're like, hey, let's check that out.
So if he is truly not in, he may be in a cutscene, who knows?
Okay,
but anyway.
That's true. Or there's times where it's uncredited, like four rooms. Bruce Willis is in that and he's not credited or something like that.
What the heck?
Four rooms.
I think this means
we
need to see it again.
About,
there
Frank?
You go.
Well, I'll give you another number. It's not going to be in the top five, but End of Watch did gross $41 million overall.
Yeah. There you go.
So there's that.
It came in number 17 for Michael Pena on that list.
Top 20.
Top 20.
Hey.
There you go. But if we do exclude that, then Fury would be the next one
okay,
up for
cool.
that took
well,
the bottom spot there. Yes.
Yay.
All right.
Keep voting. No, I don't see a lot of votes up there, everybody. Come on.
Well, before we get to the votes, we'll do real quick what we think next week's top five is going to be. Mortal Engines. Produced by Peter Jackson, a nice young adult dive.
Yay!
It does not.
It looks so fun. That's like right up my alley. I'm so excited.
It looks kind of rough for me. I don't know.
I wanted to read the books, and then I ran out of time.
It's on 3,000 screens from Universal. Then we've got The Mule, Clint Eastwood's new film. 2,400 screens from Warner Brothers, and then lastly, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse from Sony. Mm-hmm. 3,400 screens. Yeah, I don't know what it is about Mortal Engines. I mean, I guess there must be much more to the story. Mm-hmm. I've never read the book, but the because when you see the trailer and it like sets up like the
it's such an interesting world that they're setting up.
That
no?
they're just on cities that travel around. Yeah.
But there must be a reason.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah. The question is how good of a reason they give us.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like what we see in the trailer, like it's like, oh, okay, and then it's usually something that would be the whole movie to get that to that scene, but then it just
we'll find out.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I want to believe in Peter Jackson because I feel like he's, you know, I enjoy his work as a filmmaker. So I would think if he's going to get behind a project like this, he must see something to the story.
That's the only, like, saving grace I have for myself with, mm-hmm. like, regarding this film, like, because Peter Jackson is who he is. That's why I still trust him. But, like, it has been diminished from the Hobbit series. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm, like, a little iffy on this. And the trailer doesn't really do too much for me, to be honest.
I love The Hobbit.
It's based on a successful book series, so that always makes me a little more like, ooh, what is the series? But then it's also, I've never heard
of
it.
But then, like, you know, Fifty Shades of Grey is also based on the successful film, like, yeah, book series, and that wasn't great either, you know? No, like, I mean, you can't go off that anymore.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, it says something. Something is, even if it's not good or bad, if it's that big of a pop culture phenomenon that people, like, gravitate towards it, I'm still always curious to check out what that is.
Yeah, but I do agree with Anthony that just because it was a popular story.
No, not quite an if and then.
Yeah. All right, so what do we see of those three? Do you see any of them taking the top spot?
Oh, Spider-Man!
All right. You're not hear no argument from me from there.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, what do you think the Mule's going to do? Do you think it's going to make the top five? I mean, there is a Clint Eastwood
brand. There is a big fan base.
And there's a fan base. And
also older demographics would be excited. Big Clint Eastwood fans. And based on true story, that always gets people in too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, my thing is, I have talked about this movie before.
Yes, you have.
You know, with the trailer. So, did you guys see the trailer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of, but not really.
Okay.
Like, it's one of those kind of was on, but didn't really watch.
Exactly. Why?
But I don't want to. I like, some of them I don't want, I'd rather not know.
Okay, you want to be surprised.
Yeah.
2,400 screens for a Clint Eastwood movie.
They've been talking about this for a while, though.
But, I mean, you know, that's when usually a lot of Clint Eastwood films come out towards the end of the year because they're considered award bait for that. So I can see that. And yeah, the budgets for these are small. So, I mean, Warner Brothers is going to see a profit from this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'll do top. I feel like it could squeak in top five.
Five.
I think if it does, it's only at five.
Oh. Consulting my crystal ball back here. I honestly don't see it breaking the top five.
That's a good question. Great in the chat says, however, for older demographic, generally means the movie has legs, but not a big opening. Good point.
Very true.
They don't want to go in. It's super crowded.
No, yeah, but they're also not rushing
out
right away.
They're not in a rush. They're going to see it, but they might not be, I have to see it opening. They don't have that same.
I feel like if you're not, like, super obsessed with movies, you don't feel the sense of urgency in general to go see a movie opening weekend because everyone and their mother's going to go, you know?
We got Ryan in the chat saying number one, Spider-Man, then Ralph, then Mortal Engines, then The Mule, and Bohemian Rhapsody. Great. It says Spider-Verse, Mortal Engines, Ralph, Mule, and Bohemian Rhapsody. So pretty much the same.
But you guys are just discounting The Grinch. That one's still hanging on.
It's still doing really well. So I am gonna go with Spider-Man. I think Mortal Engines, Ralph, Dr. Seuss, and Creed. If that's the case, then I don't see The Mule making it into the top five.
Wow. I'll say the same, but change it by swapping out Creed. You said is five, and make that Mule.
Oh, okay, interesting.
Sure.
Well, geez, I'm confused. I don't even know.
So I'll say, Spider-Man, Mortal Engines, Ralph's, Ralph, Grinch, and Mule.
I'm actually going to go with you, Frank.
Yeah. Oh, well, look at this. A rare occurrence where Amy agrees with me. Look at that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we wrap things up, we couldn't end the show without doing our box office bet.
I don't see any bets.
You folks bet in the chat about which of the three films that are being released this week that we will bet on. The winner who gets closest to the actual opening box office total will get the praise, like Amy Cassandra Martinez is basking in right now. Look at that glow. And the loser will have to go see that film and tell us all about it. No, hopefully one of us will be just as responsible as Carrie Lane was this past
week. I know. I was preemptive. I was like, going already.
I'm so irresponsible. I should not be on this show.
Be a Carrie, not an Anthony.
Yeah, I'll take the blame.
Wow. Ken Jack says the mule's the winner.
Oh, baby. All right.
Oh, well, wait. You guys said it's not the top five, and I said it's number five. Yes. So those should be some interesting numbers. All right.
So we've got the mule, Clint Eastwood, Bradley Cooper.
24.
Michael Pena. Variety other people will be in this as well. From Warner Brothers, 2,400 screens.
This is totally going to make the top five.
I said it's number five, so...
It would only have to beat, like, what, 6 million to be on the top five, right? Is that how that works?
I'm thinking low, but on there.
Okay.
Yeah, it is...
Oh, crap, I'm terrified right now. I hate this.
All right, this is going to be interesting.
No one's given us any numbers.
Ken Jack says 17. Whew. Okay.
All right, this will be interesting. Let me just type in the name of this.
Put it, drop it.
There we go. And then.
Pop it. Put it. Drop it.
Twist it. Pull it. Yep. Ryan says 10.
All right, I got it.
All right.
Y'all ready?
Are you changing it?
Oh, Frank, what are you doing?
Guide says 10. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. No.
Crap.
Davin says 12. Gregory says 9.8.
That's an interesting number, Gregory.
All right, we'll go for it. Let us do it. Anthony, what do you have, sir?
I got a cool 8 million.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm feeling good about that bet, Anthony. Feeling great about that bet.
Amy?
I bet.
Six.
Six? Oh!
No!
I love it. I love it.
Yes.
7.5.
Wait a minute. I'm not loving this so much.
What'd you get? What is it, Frank?
I went nine.
I went nine.
Okay.
Frank and Amy at the end of the spectrum.
John says 7. All right. Close to my 7.5.
Oh.
I'm safe.
I was right there at eight, Anthony, and that's why I changed it. I could have been.
You should have been with me.
Dang it.
I always do.
Now. All right. Everybody, bring your loved ones. Everybody you know, find an elderly person near you and take them to the mule.
Watch Christmas Chronicles.
Yeah,
at home go check with it out. Some it's hot cute. Chocolate, mm-hmm. marshmallows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Buy Grandma and Grandpa some movie tickets, specifically for the mule.
Stay at home.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. As always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and while you do, give it a thumbs up, or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, however many you can. And thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat. But, Carrie, if they're watching this after we stream live, what can they do?
Yes, you can comment down below. Let us know if you have seen The Christmas Chronicles and what you think of it. Or if you've seen any other actually good Netflix Christmas movies. Because I hear they're a little all over the board.
Shade.
That's what I hear. Well, it depends what you like. Like, I know the Princess Switch one, someone goes, it's the right amount of super cheese that they wanted. So they were happy with it.
Amy's
making a face
but
for
check
those
out her
listening.
Netflix show to find out her in-depth thoughts about that.
For sure.
But folks, if you want to hear our thoughts or get in touch and share yours with any of us, even after the show's over, Anthony, where can they find you?
Sorry about that.
You fell asleep.
You can... No, I got kicked awake. You can find me everywhere at TonyBTony_TONY, the letter B, TONY _. And my name is Anthony Becerra, and thank you so much. Great show.
Amy?
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra, MTZ.
Nailed it?
Oh my God, I did not nail it. I'm so sorry. You nailed it. I did it. I was trying to do this.
I'm heartbroken.
Somebody make a gif of Benny being left out, hung out to dry.
Do it again.
You guys can find me on all social media at Amy Cassandra, MTZ.
You nailed it, kid. You did it.
Yeah, we did all right.
Yay.
Okay.
And you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And if you go to my Instagram stories right now, I was on set for a commercial this morning doing background and you can see the exciting adventures of life on set.
Ooh. Follow me on Twitter and this new thing called Instagram.
Instagram.
Okay. Got it. Cool. At Happy Go Jackie. Folks, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. We'll be back here next Sunday to break down our latest round of films and our box office bet, but it'll also be our winter finale as well. Look at that. Will we end on a cliffhanger? Who knows? Somebody will probably be dying. I don't know. We'll find out. But join us back here next Sunday. There you go. Until then, go see some movies, especially The Mule.
No, stay home. Stay home. It's fine.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.